Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Marisa DeMarco, a reporter and producer here at KUNM. Today we're talking to the folks who've been cleaning and sanitizing homes, public spaces, and hospitals all over New Mexico. Keeping our communities clean is life-saving work as we fight viral spread. It's essential and often underpaid labor. We'll hear from those frontline workers about the conditions they face during the pandemic. Do you work in sanitation for a city or county or in a hospital cleaning crew? Do you clean homes or other businesses for a living? Are you a home healthcare worker? Do you sanitize a grocery store? We want to hear from you about how things are going. Or do you have a special story or gratitude shout out for someone who cleans the spaces you inhabit? Join the conversation by calling 277-5866. You can tweet us too with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM, and we'll read your comment on the air. I've been producing KUNM's COVID response show, Your NM Government, which airs Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 7:30 p.m. On Friday, we put together an episode intended to celebrate the work of people who clean. But as our staff dove in, they found another story about the hardships workers are facing too. So right now, we're going to revisit some of those conversations and reporting from Friday, and then take it further with more info we gained in the last couple of days. First up, journalist Yasmin Khan spoke with a custodial worker at UNMH. Here is my conversation with Yasmin from Friday's episode of YNMG. I'm so grateful to you, Yasmin, for being able to do these really important interviews with folks who speak primarily Spanish. It's just so useful right now during the pandemic. So welcome, Yasmin.
Thank you. Thanks, Marissa.
So you spoke with someone who did not want to be identified, who works at UNMH doing custodial work, right?
Right.
And what are some of the ways that her job has changed during the pandemic?
She said she's been working at UNMH for years in various wards, and now she's working partly in the ward that has coronavirus patients. So what she said is since the coronavirus pandemic started, everything has changed because it's sad and depressing. She said we're always working with fear and sadness. And she said it's just taking a toll on her mental health.
Yeah, and that's, you know, something I had not really considered is that, of course, people who are doing custodial work are also witnessing people passing away without their families.
Yes, there's days that she just doesn't want to go to work anymore, but she has to because she's proud of the work that she does.
And this show is intended originally just to celebrate people who do cleaning work in our communities because it is so important right now. So it makes sense that she's proud of the way that she's contributing right now.
She also said that sometimes, you know, it gets really depressing because she's watching patients die alone because they can't have visitors during the pandemic. And sometimes she's the only person that they can talk to while they're dying. So not only is she preparing rooms for people to come in and she's cleaning up afterwards when people leave, but she's there during the whole process, life to death during this coronavirus pandemic.
That is so much, right? You've mentioned that they don't have the same PPE as the doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers, even though they're in the same spaces with people who have coronavirus, right?
She said, and other people that I've talked to said, that they have the little fabric surgical masks. But as cleaning crew, they're very aware of how viruses and bacteria work, that it's airborne. And what this worker was asking for was the N95 mask. Doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers also know that cleaning crew don't have the right PPE. The outcome is that cleaning staff are being ostracized. People are avoiding them in the hallways. And this worker was very upset, and she cried through most of this interview, saying that 3 weeks ago, a head nurse banned her from entering the kitchen, and she couldn't eat, and she was very hungry. She said she just carried on her day with a headache, and she said it was depressing because she saw that in the kitchen were all people that she'd been working with all day, doctors and nurses. Who she had been working with were eating in the kitchen, but she wasn't allowed to go in. And she said it was definitely discrimination, and she wanted people to understand. She told the nurse who banned her from the kitchen that we need to have more solidarity. We work together every day, and it doesn't make sense that she can't enter the kitchen and eat. But she does link it to the fact that everybody knows that cleaning staff don't have the correct PPE, and they're considered contaminated.
Ooh, and that, I mean, that just, I think, speaks to a long history of this racism in America, where some people are thought of as being diseased or unclean in some way.
Yeah, this was the biggest, most emotional part of the interview that I had with her. And she said that she knows at least three other cleaning staff who were banned from eating in the kitchen. Obviously, when you're cleaning crew in a hospital, you can't just eat wherever you want. You can't just sit down and have your lunch. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to eat in a designated area. But if she can't go into that area, then she just doesn't eat. So between watching patients die alone and the heavy load of all the extra clean that goes into cleaning a coronavirus ward, she's having a really rough time.
Another thing that really strikes me about the interview is that she's really going above and beyond to show up for patients, to show up for their families.
Yeah. For example, if a patient is flown in by helicopter, that means they're coming from further away. And if families come in and but can't stay somewhere in a hotel or can't afford to live somewhere close by to their loved ones, she'll take them into her house. She said that one time before the coronavirus, she had an entire family who stayed with her for 2 months because their loved one was flown in with a head injury and they didn't have a place to stay. So she said that she tries to help when she can, but she's very poor, but she's continuing to do this even during the pandemic. And especially if they're Spanish-speaking or Mexican families, she says she feels a solidarity for them. So she is really going above and beyond what most people would do in the situation.
And filling a gap that might not be obvious to everyone in our system.
It sounds like she's really interested in seeing more solidarity inside the hospital and out. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like she's just a very caring person who understands that we all have to work together.
All right, Yasmin. Well, again, thank you for doing these really important interviews for us. I'm looking forward to the rest of your coverage.
All right. Thanks, Marissa.
All right. And that's just kind of the start of this conversation. That's powerful reporting from Yasmin Khan, who's going to join us live in a few minutes. But if you're listening, what are your questions or thoughts about what you're hearing in these stories today? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 277-5866. Tweet us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. We're going to keep going with this story about people who clean hospital rooms and do housekeeping at UNMH. But first, I want to say that we would love for you to share your story. Do you clean in a hospital anywhere in New Mexico? Are you in rooms with COVID patients? Do you have the right PPE? Are you treated fairly? We want to know about it this morning. Join our conversation here by calling 277-5866. We'll get you on the air. All right, so Yasmin Khan has done a lot of reporting on this story. Here is more of her work.
I spoke with Delmi Nova and Alicia Hernandez, part of the cleaning staff at UNMH. Nova works in urgent care, cleaning rooms that receive a range of patients. Hernandez works on the second floor surgery ward and is also a union delegate for the cleaning staff. Neither are speaking on behalf of the hospital, but only sharing their personal experiences. The women say things have changed drastically for them in terms of their mental and physical health since the pandemic hit, in part because they haven't received training on how to deal with the virus at work. Delmi says the first days of the pandemic were rough and things haven't gotten better.
Pues un caos porque era un pánico total porque era algo desconocido, no sabíamos cómo enfrentarnos a ello y seguimos en la misma situación.
It was chaos. It was total panic because it was something unknown to us and we didn't know how to confront the virus. We are still in the same situation because we still don't know how to respond. We're using the tools that we have, but we are really limited. Alicia says about 80% of the cleaning crew are women. She says some staff assigned to clean rooms with coronavirus patients have pre-existing conditions that make them more susceptible to COVID-19 complications if they contract the virus. However, even with doctors' notes, high-risk staff are still asked to clean rooms with COVID-19 patients.
Los están obligando a entrar a limpiar cuartos de COVID-19 exponiendo su salud.
They are obliging workers with pre-existing medical conditions to enter COVID-19 contaminated rooms, exposing workers without listening to the workers' doctors or taking pre-existing conditions into consideration. The life of our colleagues is important. The health of our colleagues. The women are also concerned that they didn't receive information or training in how to use the new cleaning supplies they received this week. Without understanding how to use the new chemicals correctly, they're afraid they're putting themselves, patients, and other hospital staff at risk. The women say they knew the old solution. Virex worked to kill the COVID-19 virus within 1 minute, but they don't know how long the new solution takes to work, and since they enter dozens of rooms per day, they feel exposed to the virus. They also say they don't have the right PPE. They want N95 masks that are more effective against the virus. Neither woman say they've had luck talking with their supervisors about their concerns. Delmi said she understands doctors and nurses are in close contact with patients and are at high risk for contracting the virus, but cleaning crew are also exposed and deserve the right PPE, hazard pay, and to know how to correctly use the new cleaning chemicals.
Ellos son importantes para el hospital como nosotros también, porque si nosotros no estuviéramos allí para limpiar y sanitizar los cuartos para que entren los pacientes.
The doctors and nurses are important for the hospital, and we are too. If we aren't there to clean and sanitize the rooms for patients, then they couldn't do their job 100%. The virus will affect a cleaning staff just as much as a doctor. It doesn't discriminate. It attacks everyone. Both women say the lack of PPE leads to emotional stress because doctors, nurses, and other staff avoid them.
Entonces todos los demás personas yo veo que pasan normalmente, pero pasan una housekeeper por el pasillo.
I see that doctors and nurses pass each other normally in the hall, but when they pass cleaning staff, I see them panic. Alicia said her union has tried to negotiate with the CEO of UNMH for hazard pay, better PPE, paid quarantine leave, and measures such as taking temperatures of workers when they leave and arrive, but they haven't had luck in reaching hospital administration.
Por favor, la gente sepa lo que está sucediendo en el UNMH.
It's very important that all the listeners know what is happening in UNMH, that we need to reach Kate Becker, the CEO of the hospital, and let her know that the cleaning crew needs her support. The women say because they have children and parents who have medical conditions, they're afraid they're bringing the virus home to their families.
Nosotros, pues los latinos, tendemos a ser muy apegados a nuestras personas mayores. Entonces, para nosotros, ellos son personas de sabiduría.
Us Latinos, we're very close to our elders. For us, they are people of wisdom, an example of how to live our life. We are proud of them in our hearts, and we love our elders very much, and they often live with us. We live in fear of bringing this virus back to our elders at home. Despite all of this, the women say they are proud of their work and they want other cleaning staff around the state to know they can ask for what they need to be safe. I do my work with pride because the health of others depends on our work. My contribution is beneficial for the hospital, the patients, and the staff who work there.
No tenemos otra cosa. Aparte también porque tenemos un compromiso ante la sociedad. Yo tengo, por lo menos, mi padre tiene muchas enfermedades. Tiene cáncer, tiene linfoma, tiene muchas condiciones médicas.
We have to work. We don't have a choice. But we also have an obligation to society. For example, my father has cancer. He has lymphoma. And so I think, what if my father has to use this hospital room? So I have to do things right for my father and for other patients who have serious conditions. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Yasmin Khan.
All right. And so last week we got a written statement from UNMH in response to our questions before we aired that piece. And we also this week got an interview with someone from UNMH. So we're going to roll that into the show here today, too. Here's the written statement UNMH sent over in response to that, to those concerns. This statement is read by YNMG host Khalil Ekolona.
UNMH spokesperson Mark Rudy did not respond to many of the specific concerns presented by these workers that we sent over via email. This is what he wrote in response. We take all allegations of mistreatment seriously and will look into these claims, but we can tell you that employee and patient safety is our top priority at the University of New Mexico Hospital. UNMH has formed a multidisciplinary committee to address personal protective equipment, PPE. This committee, which is led by medical school physician leaders, reviews recommendations and best practices to help us create appropriate guidelines for every employee. We want to be sure every employee has the proper PPE for their risk of exposure based on their work assignment. We work hard to provide venues for all of our employees to share concerns. We have also held classes that discuss the COVID response and how to stay safe. These concerns have not been brought forward in those platforms, and hospital CEO Kate Becker has not been approached by any housekeeping employee to discuss these concerns. We will not tolerate discrimination against any of our employees. We have implemented appropriate social distancing measures in our dining areas. Those measures apply to all employees. We are proud of our housekeeping team and recognize the crucial role they play in caring for our patients. We will continue to work to support them.
We're talking about cleaning crews all over New Mexico today. Are you or one of your family members a person whose profession it is to keep things clean in the state? Do you pick up residents' trash bins or clean hospitals or wipe down grocery stores? Give us a call at 277-5866. Tweet us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. We're going to take a quick break.
Support comes from Rothstein Donatelli Law Firm, providing legal advice and representation for Native American tribes, people facing criminal charges, expungement of criminal records, civil rights plaintiffs, and survivors of sexual abuse. RothsteinLaw.com.
Public graduation ceremonies are almost universally canceled this year, so we're throwing a radio party. Coming up, music to celebrate this rite of passage and some special messages for this year's graduates. We'll honor the graduating class of 2020 on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
On the next edition of Alternative Radio, hear David McNally, The Pandemic and the Economy, A Radical View. That's Alternative Radio, Saturday evenings at 6, right here on 89.9 FM KUNM, KUNM.org, Albuquerque.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Marisa DeMarco. We're talking about the people who keep us all safe by keeping public spaces clean in the time of coronavirus. Do you have extra appreciation for people who clean our public spaces around the state right now? Maybe you'd like to give a shout out or tell a story. Call us at 277-5866. And on the phone, we've got one of those shout outs now, Joe in Española. Good morning, Joe.
Hello. Thank you. Good morning. Yeah. You know, I'm calling on behalf of my sister. She works at a nursing facility, and she works in the laundry department, and they're always shorthanded because, you know, the laundry is very stinky, very dirty, and a lot of times she's there by herself, and they only have, like, one person, you know, because the other girls have quit, because even in non-COVID times, it's bad. But now with the COVID, so poor thing, she's having to work, double shifts, and she has no other choice because if she don't work, she's a single parent, she's homeless, you know.
Sure.
And no union, the nursing, but I heard a while ago that the union this, well, she got no union because, I mean, she's been there like 20-some years, and, you know, poor thing, she's just ready to drop dead, you know, because, poor thing, I just really feel sorry for her, you know. And again, the lack of help, and then the work, and she's gone from, you know, from housekeeping, which is not good either. It's dirty, you know, got to clean up all the dirty toilets. And then sometimes she says they'll pull her from where she's at to go clean toilets because the other girls, they either quit or they call in or whatever.
Right.
And my sister, well, she's obligated, you know. I really feel sorry for her. I really do. I cry in my heart for her because she works hard, you know, and she don't work at a hospital where they have a lot of workers and this and that. And the other day I told my brother, have they tested her? He said, yeah, they tested her. Did they give her the results? Well, I don't know. You know, she's really warm-hearted, and a lot of times I think they take advantage of her, and I really feel sad, you know. I have felt that many times to call, you know, on her behalf and speak to administration, but I don't want them to retaliate on her and go fire her, you know. But she's really, you know, the only one that's really is God, you know. God's God's there giving her the support, you know, because I really feel sorry. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, I heard the other person's calling union this and union that. You know, she got no union. She got no one to go to.
So does she work at a hospital, Joe?
Huh?
Does your sister work at a hospital?
Nursing facility.
Oh, at a nursing facility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said anybody who works cleaning or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course. I was just thinking there is a union for folks who work at hospitals. I'm not sure if it covers nursing facilities, but we'll ask them because we're going to have them on the line in a little bit.
And not to be mean or nothing against the people that have been work here, but she's born in, you know, she's from here. You know, she's from the state. She's an American citizen. She's born here. And she's never, you know, she's always, I feel like she's always been too attached to her job, and she's just maybe afraid of switching jobs or whatever, but they take advantage. And then now they have her, because a lot of the other girls have quit, and she just works and works her tail off. She, like I said, she's just ready to drop the head, pobrecita, man. I really feel sorry for her.
Yeah, and, you know, this is, no matter where you're born, this is really hard labor. It is such important labor right now, especially as everybody's trying to avoid the virus, right? And a lot of times it's also really skilled labor as well in terms of knowing about chemicals, knowing about how to keep people safe. And people don't make a lot of money doing it.
It is. It's tough. You know, I was a custodian for 30 years, but I worked at a school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they're in the school. I know what it is. It's hard. And she works like maybe, I'm going to say 100 times more hazard. Like I said, working at a laundry, putting up with all the feces and urine and everything. And, you know, before they wash the clothes, the diapers, whatever, they got to clean them out, empty them in. I doubt if anybody liked to do that job. I mean,
yeah,
even like people that have come in, like from other countries, they get a job there with her. They don't last. They go work at other hospitals where they. So you know, when I hear stories like, well, this and then the other, and the hospitals and the unions, they say, you know what, my sister, she's working 100 times worse and in worse conditions, and she got nobody to cry to. So I just felt, you know, I heard the radio now, and I heard it, and I said, you know what. I'm going to put it out there, you know. The only one that's taking care of her is God right now, because she works really, really hard. You know, I ask for a lot of her people for her prayers for her. And, you know, just say that man that called on the radio, Joe's sister. And, yeah,
okay.
You know, it's a bad situation. It really is.
Joe, thank you so much for your call this morning. We're going to jump right back into this UNMH story. Yasmin Khan, the reporter, joins us live by phone. Thanks for being here to give us some updates, Yasmin.
Thanks, Marissa. Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. This story is a big one, and you've just done days and days of reporting on it. And I know there's a lot of concerns from the workers. Let's start with the one that probably affects the most people in the hospital, because it's a matter of knowing how to stop the spread of coronavirus within the hospital and preventing infections through sanitization. What kind of training have the people you've been speaking with said they're getting?
None. So the women I've spoken to said they haven't had any training related to the coronavirus pandemic and how they should be changing their tasks during their cleaning. They said that they know that they should have gotten some training, that they've been given new chemicals, but they haven't had any information on how they work or how to use them correctly. So all the women I've talked to have done their own research on how to use these new chemicals, and they have questions. They have questions on if the PPE they have is sufficient. And as you'll hear on the story that's going to air tonight, sometimes they go into rooms putting two masks on, thinking that they need to have two, depending on what was happening in that room. One woman said that they watch TV and they see PPE on other hospital workers in other parts of the world, and that they try to match the PPE to what they see on TV. So definitely, they said they haven't had any training from their supervisors. They know that their supervisors have been trained in how to conduct cleaning during a pandemic, but they say that information hasn't been passed on to them.
Right. And in your story, which we heard just a little bit ago, you know, the workers are asking for the N95s and they have, instead of those, they have those fabric, like those blue surgical masks, right?
Yeah. So it seems like they're getting the fabric masks. One woman said that she got an N95 once and she's just been using it for weeks over and over. And she's not sure if that's the correct way to use an N95 mask. So they have a uniform of, they have little fabric shoes that they put on and they wear a hat to cover their hair. But the biggest gap is understanding new chemicals also. Some of them have used the same chemicals for years because coronavirus isn't the first time they've faced any kind of communicable disease. There's still tuberculosis. A lot of them work both in coronavirus rooms and tuberculosis rooms. So those are airborne. So the idea is if you walk into a room that has these airborne contaminants, you can be infected just by breathing. And a lot of us know this from all of the ways that we've been keeping ourselves educated on coronavirus. But the fear is, I mean, as all of us sitting at home are trying to figure out, should we go outside? What kind of mask do I need? What do I need to do to go to the grocery store? These women are walking into rooms that are truly contaminated with coronavirus multiple times a day. So it is taking a mental toll, and it could take possibly a physical toll if they get infected.
So you spoke with hospital administrators. What do they say about this training issue?
Well, Dr. Espy, she was very empathetic. Dr. Espy is co-chair of the PPE committee at UNMH, and she said that hearing the experiences of the cleaning crew was upsetting to both the PPE committee and to staff, and that there was no intention of leaving the cleaning crew out of PPE training. But Dr. Espy is she's a physician and she's a part of this committee. She's not part of the higher administration. She's not a supervisor of the women who are cleaning. So it sounds like there is quite a bit of evidence. The PPE that's given out to each type of staff is evidence-backed. And that there are policies based on CDC guidelines. And also the disconnect is that these cleaning crew, the cleaning staff, they also are looking for evidence. They also are trying to do their own research and get evidence on what they're using to clean and the PPE that they have is effective. So there's evidence here and there's evidence there, but there seems to be a gap. And as Mauricio will talk about, there's definitely a gap in getting that evidence to people that want it. And that's what these women are asking for, the evidence that what they have is keeping them safe. There's a communications gap because apparently no information has ever been passed on in Spanish. And a lot of cleaning crew are Spanish speakers. A lot of information is passed on through email or through Zoom, which a lot of cleaning staff aren't using. There's also a big issue of lack of access to the occupational health unit, which Dr. Espy said is open to all employees who can call in, talk to occupational health, and that unit can help people customize a workday and probably even PPE to be safe according to their personal health restrictions. So if somebody has a doctor's note, they can say, I have a pre-existing health condition. How do I change my day to stay safe during my hospital work during a pandemic? But it's unclear if that information is available in Spanish. And it's also unclear if people have to go through their supervisors or directors to get to occupational health. And that's a gap that women are saying that they have in their environmental services department, that they just can't get support from their supervisors. And if they aren't getting support from their supervisors, they may not even know that this occupational health unit exists or how to access it. So everything is in place. Dr. Espy is right. There are multiple safety nets, but if people can't access them, they might as well not be there. And the hospital during a pandemic is not the place or the time to be wondering, am I doing things right? Am I bringing home a contaminant to my family? Am I wearing the right mask? Do I need two masks? So this is definitely the time to step up communication, both in the terms of languages and how information is being passed on.
Yeah. And just to add this in too, we did, when we were reaching out for comment, we did ask to speak with a supervisor as well as to administration. You know, it's nice to talk to Dr. Eve Espy from the PPE committee. We've had her on the show before on Your New Mexico Government. But so far, we haven't been given access to an administrator or a supervisor. One of the people in your story, Alicia Hernandez, is part of the cleaning crew at UNMH. And she told you that she's been trying to contact UNMH CEO Kate Becker, but hadn't had any luck. And UNMH spokesperson Mark Rudy said no one approached the CEO. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so Alicia is also, so she approached, she and the union, she's also a union delegate. So, yeah, she said that she heard a piece that we aired last week, and when she heard that the administration said that no one has approached Kate, she wrote to me, and they sent me emails. So from Monday, April 6th, there's an email to Kate Becker and to Ryan Randall, who is her communications officer, inviting Kate to a town hall. There are attachments. There's a letter, a full letter from the union asking Ms. Becker to join the employees at their town hall, that laying out their asks for what they need to feel safe about PPE. They give her several options of when the town hall could happen. And I guess, so there was definitely communication to Kate Becker. Yeah, the idea that people haven't been communicating with her, Alicia said, is a complete lie. And also, staff and the union has been picketing outside of the hospital. So they say, Alicia says, that there's definitely no way that Kate Becker can say that there hasn't been any communication with her.
So, and you talked to Alicia again this week. So you talked to her first last week and then again just recently. What happened after that piece aired?
So she said that after that piece aired, I did ask, I was hoping that maybe something positive would have come out of that piece, but instead she said she was called into the supervisor's office and told that she shouldn't be talking to the media, that she has to follow a particular protocol. But she said that she's not afraid of speaking up. She said that her supervisor was warning her, but she's not sure if he's going to warn other women too about speaking up. But Alicia said that she has the backing of the union. She's allowed to talk about her opinions. And of course, the other day we saw an email from a communications officer at UNMH that said, yes, employees are allowed to talk about their opinions to the media. So, and of course we did try to reach Alicia's supervisor, but we weren't allowed to talk with him. I did have a very short conversation, and he said that he repeated he had to follow protocol, and I needed to go through the communications office. And unfortunately, I was not able to get an interview with him. But yeah, Alicia said that she's afraid that now workers are going to be intimidated into not speaking out. And of course, there are already women who are afraid to speak up. So some of them don't want to be identified at all. Some of them are using different names. So it is scary anyway to be to speak out. But Alicia and other women have been brave and have come forward and spoken out on behalf of their coworkers and themselves.
All right. And we're taking calls this morning too. Give us a call, 277-5866. What do you think about this story that we're talking about today? Or do you have a shout out for a friend or a family member who's doing this life-saving cleaning work around the state? We're going to take a call now from Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, Marissa.
What's on your mind?
My first paid job was housekeeping in the hospital, a little town I grew up in, and I went on to become a registered nurse, and I have been a co-worker of every housekeeping staff I ever had the privilege to work alongside in all of my hospital assignments. Housekeeping is one of the fundamental foundations of a hospital, and when the housekeeping staff came into my ICU, we would part like the sea to allow them to come in and do their work properly. And I just can't tell you how much respect I have for hospital housekeeping staff. I'd like to also make a comment about PPE. The industry is recycling and cleaning PPE now because there's a shortage, and the methods that they're using are not approved by the manufacturer of the PPE. All of that stuff is meant to be disposable, and that's what the instructions say that come from the manufacturers. And these methods for sanitizing it and then reissuing it are, they're just making that up as they go along. That's not something that was envisioned by the manufacturer.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call this morning, Robert. We're celebrating the life-saving work done by people who clean all around the state this morning. This is Let's Talk New Mexico, and I'm Marisa DeMarco. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Support provided by Weekly Alibi, covering news, arts, and entertainment for Albuquerque since 1992. The friends at Weekly Alibi invite the community to help support local independent journalism when it's needed the most. Info at alibi.com/friends.
A big thank you to our members who make KUNM's news coverage possible, including breaking news and our expanded coverage of COVID-19. One way to help us keep news coming your way is to donate that vehicle you no longer need. We'll pick up the car, truck, or RV, get top dollar for it, and invest the funds right back into bringing you comprehensive news coverage. Donate that unwanted vehicle today and keep your community informed and safe. Get started at KUNM.org or call 1-888-KUNM-CAR.
Kanaka singer Havani Rio's latest release, Together We Rise, uplifts Indigenous connection to the land. Here's some of it.
Protectress of the good way, sister to the infinite.
Join us for our May Music Maker with Havani Rios.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Marisa DeMarco, and today we're giving a salute to the people who keep the state clean and prevent viral spread during the pandemic. Do you work in cleaning and disinfecting in this new, more dangerous world? Do you feel like you have a choice about whether you work right now? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 277-5866. Tweet us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. And I was just thinking a little bit about Joe, who called earlier on behalf of his sister. We do have a whole bunch of resources on this post online for anyone who's experiencing discrimination, wage theft, safety violations at their job. And so I just encourage folks to go look there. That's KUNM.org. This post is called Let's Talk Cleaning Crew. I'd like to welcome Mauricio de Segovia to the show. He's an organizer with District 1199 of the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees. Thanks for being here with us this morning, Mauricio.
Well, thank you for having us.
So before we went to the break, we were talking about employees being pressured not to speak to the media. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty much a typical tactic that management would, and that we would expect management to attempt to do. However, we fully understand that workers that are speaking out about working conditions that could potentially be dangerous to their health and their safety is something that we encourage them to do, and that we work to assist them in getting the word out to the community about the issues that are facing them. We just want to make sure that many of our workers understand that they have rights and protections that exist to make sure that they have this ability to bring up and bring these issues to the fore so that we can keep workers safe around our state.
And then I also, we heard from Joe earlier who was thinking about his sister. Does the union represent folks who work in these elder care facilities?
Well, while at the moment we don't have any chapters located at any facilities around the state of that type, we can and do organize with workers in the healthcare field that may be in other settings that are not just simply at hospitals. So elder care centers would also be places where we can organize and form union chapters at their work sites.
So the UNMH workers that we've been hearing about this morning, they raise a lot of issues about treatment, about PPE, about their health. And we heard from UNMH that there's all these ways that people can reach out about their COVID-19 concerns at the hospital. They have these weekly town halls, an intranet question and answer forum, daily employee huddles, and classes about how to stay safe. Spokesperson Mark Rudy said they never heard these concerns from the cleaning crew in those platforms. Marisa, what do you think the problem is?
Well, I think that they're reliant on a lot of platforms that they're used to, but they're not taking into consideration what I would consider a digital divide between a lot of the staff that exists there. I think that it may not be taken into consideration the fact that a lot of the housekeeping staff at UNMH are mobile throughout their day. They're not at a computer station where they're accessing emails and virtual town halls or conference rooms of any kind in that way. They are also just not getting the information in their native language via these platforms, much less the fact that they're not really accessing those types of platforms in their kind of daily lives anyway. And so I think that that's part of the issue as well. Even we've been attempting to express for many years, actually, in the time that I've worked with the union, that there is this gap and that they need to find other methods in order to get information to their workers and being inclusive of the languages that they speak and understand. So I think that that's part of the issue. Recently, as far as daily huddles, some of them do occur with a lot of the medical staff, such as RNs and techs. However, from what I understand and what a lot of the housekeeping staff has expressed to me is that they haven't had a meeting since possibly the first week that we ended up with our first COVID case in New Mexico. So that's a really big concern as well.
So Yasmin spoke yesterday with Dr. Eve Espy from the hospital's PPE committee about these issues. Yasmin, you asked why cleaning crew members have different masks if they're in the same areas as other healthcare workers who are treating COVID patients. Here's what Espy said.
So that's a really good question. And we certainly understand everybody's fear and anxiety about getting this virus. And that was actually the reason that the PPE committee was put together, was to really prioritize the safety of all of our workers. And also recognizing that there's not an unlimited supply of much of the PPE. So our work was really focused on ensuring that everybody had the level of PPE that they needed to fit with the job that they were doing. So what the committee did was to create specific guidance for different units and for, you know, different job functions within those units. And there is specific guidance for environmental services, which is our housekeeping staff, that varies depending on which unit they're in and is based on sort of CDC guidelines. So although there are some people that are wearing N95s in some of the places where they may be cleaning, they're wearing those masks relative to specific procedures that are known to produce the kinds of aerosols that can cause transmission of the disease, whereas N95s are not needed by other personnel doing other kinds of functions. specifically for the housekeepers, there is, you know, sort of a two-page document that goes through all of the appropriate PPE that housekeepers would need, depending on which unit they're in, and also, you know, the status of that patient room. So, for example, there are some units where the housekeepers don't come in to clean until the patient has been out of the room for an hour, because, again, based on evidence, that's how long it takes for any particles that were aerosolized to be removed from that room. So, you know, different people throughout the hospital are wearing different kinds of PPE, depending on what their functions are. And everybody is following that guidance to make sure that they've got the appropriate PPE for the job that they're doing.
And there's a bigger conversation here, too, about who does these cleaning jobs. It's often people who aren't paid very much, who are women, or who are migrants. And that starts to relate to this feeling of discrimination that was described earlier in the show, where some UNMH cleaning crew that Yasmin spoke with say much of the hospital staff knows they don't have the right PPE and so avoids them in a discriminatory way. That point was especially alarming for Dr. Espy. Here's what she had to say about it.
Can I address one question that was on that list?
Sure.
Which is the concern that we are not treating our housekeeping staff in a respectful manner. Because that was really distressing to me. Mm. I mean, again, I've been here 23 years. As I'm sure you know, the mission of UNM is to care for, you know, every patient and all communities, including underserved communities. And I personally feel like that does spill over, you know, into the way we treat all of our colleagues, regardless of you know, who or where they work. And I will say that 280 people, and I was one of the first to contribute to the GoFundMe for our housekeeping staff. You know, the majority of those were the UNM community. So I did find that very distressing. And I will say that the feeling that people are, you know, sort of, you know, shirking away from other people or trying to put a lot of distance, part of that probably is our social distancing policy, which can feel sort of offensive when you're walking down a hallway and somebody, you know, walks away from you or tries to put more distance. I would hope that that's what our housekeepers are experiencing, that, you know, people are doing what they're doing everywhere. I did follow up to find out about the ICU. Nobody is barred from any break room. We have been reducing the number of chairs in break rooms and in our cafeteria, again, because the primary way that this virus is transmitted is through people being too close to each other. We tend to focus on PPE, but we have noticed in the cafeteria, you know, tables of 4 and 6 people all sitting together eating. And that, again, is one of the big focuses of our committee, is to try to get people to be more distant. But it's certainly not, at least in my experience and what I see with our own housekeepers on labor and delivery and in the OBGYN department and spaces that I occupy, we are very respectful and so appreciate the work of our housekeepers. That was so distressing to our entire leadership committee, because again, we do pride ourselves with our mission of caring for everyone. And it's caring for all of our patients, but also caring for our whole UNM family.
All right. This hour has just flown by. And Mauricio, I just want to ask you really quick, what is the union planning to do on behalf of these workers moving forward?
Well, currently what we have going on is we are going to continue meeting with House. We are continuing to meet with Human Resources on a variety of the issues that we've been posing for the last couple of months. While at the same time, one of the concerns that we do have is that UNMH has failed to negotiate in good faith with us, whereas, say, for example, another hospital in the state has cooperated with conducting negotiations of their new working conditions with regard to COVID-19. We are continuing to pressure UNMH to do so. So we have filed a prohibitive practice complaint with the University Labor Board to encourage or basically ensure that UNMH will come to the table and officially negotiate the terms that we our workers have established to keep themselves safe at work. We hope that we get a positive ruling out of that to make sure that the issues that we present to UNMH and the changes that we want to see happen at UNMH occur through workers' abilities to negotiate the conditions that they are going to be working under here with COVID-19.
All right. And we will hear more of this story tonight on KUNM's newscast. I do want to bring in Catherine Jacks in San Felipe Pueblo. Good morning, Catherine. We only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to talk to you this morning. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you, Marissa?
I'm doing good. So you were a paid caregiver for 5 years. You're continuing those services now, even though you're unpaid, right?
Correct.
And you had to make that call because you weren't getting enough hours, right?
Correct. Each senior is limited to the number of hours that they are allowed for paid services. So my client was only limited to 21 hours, which is very minimal. These elderlies definitely need the services, especially now with COVID-19. It just completely changed our world.
Right. And you know, caregivers do all kinds of things. They help navigate doctor's appointments and they talk to banks and they pick up prescriptions. And they also do a lot of cleaning, right? So cleaning up for someone, especially for someone who's older or high risk, is really important work right now. What does it entail for you and how do you feel about doing it?
Well, how I feel about doing it, I think it's critical. It's essential to avoid any viruses or sicknesses. So the only thing about cleaning is that it's increased as far as frequency of cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I do it more often. I clean and I also disinfect. So there's two phases to it. If need be a PPE, then I will wear them. I was just listening to your show and I'm thinking, geez, these people that are in facilities have a greater risk as opposed to being a home health care provider. But cleaning is essential. Doesn't matter where you work at.
All right, Catherine, I wish we had more time to talk today. Maybe I'll hit you up after the show and talk to you again. I appreciate your time so much. We're coming to the end of the hour today. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Talk New Mexico. Journalist Yasmin Khan, Mauricio de Segovia from the District 1199 of the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees, Catherine Jacks, a caregiver in San Felipe Pueblo. Thanks, everyone. If you missed any of our program or if you'd like to share it with friends, the audio of this show will be posted to our website, kunm.org, where you can also find previous shows. We're going to post links to everything we've talked about today and more over on that post, too. And the conversation doesn't have to end here. You can jump in on the comments or email letstalk@kunm.org. And a reminder, we have so many resources on this post for any workers who are experiencing hardship at their job during the pandemic. There are places you can go. There are people you can talk to try to get things squared up. Thanks to Marino Spencer, our engineer today. Ty Bannerman screened your calls. Megan Kamrick live tweeted the show. And Hannah Colton is our executive producer. I'm Marisa DeMarco. This is KUNM.